The name of the book is Lie, Lie Again. It's a novel written by Stacey Wise, award-winning author of Beyond the Stars and Maybe Someone Like You. This is her latest novel. What genre would you describe or have people pinned on you for your books that you've written?
The first two are romance novels, that more like romantic comedies, and Lie, Lie Again is a domestic drama with a revenge plot.
But there's a little humor in this, though, right? I mean, it's
absolutely, yeah, a little bit of dark humor.
What draws you to put humor in so much of your work like that?
You know, my dad's really, really funny, and I would love to think that I got some of my sense of humor from him. He's just very clever and witty, and I love that so much about him, and so I think I try to always infuse a little bit of that into my characters.
Well, it brings more real life, because even though there could be drama and sort of suspense and even, you know, sadness, humor is always with us as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so
and just as a moment gets really, really tense, it's always nice to be able to breathe that or kind of chuckle a little bit, I think.
Right, especially if you have one character who can kind of break the ice and kind of give that moment so that you can kind of, as you say, have a release or relief from that, and then you can build it up again to some more suspense. So let's talk about this Lie, Lie Again. Sylvia, Ricky, and Embry. Tell me about these three ladies.
These three ladies live in a Southern California apartment complex. It's a fourplex, so they're all on top of each other. And Ricky is a 25-year-old teacher at a very prestigious private school, and she's struggling to deal with the parents because they're very demanding, and some of their demands, that's where some of the humor comes in, because the demands are sort of outlandish. And she's struggling with her relationship. She has a secret crush on someone she absolutely should not have a crush on. And so there's a lot of internal battle going on with her. And across the way from her is Embry, who is a lovely Southern woman who is also 25. She's in a very different spot in her life. She is raising a baby and a toddler and supporting her aspiring actor husband, and she is holding a secret that she doesn't feel ready to share yet. And then upstairs is Sylvia Webb, who is a 35-year-old woman, very successful, and she is a little bit devious in her plots. Someone crosses her, and she is not okay with that, and so no holds barred. She goes after them.
And tell me a little bit about, I guess, some of the plot for this. This kind of opens up in reverse. You kind of find out some things that happened, and then you kind of get to the story that builds up to it.
Yeah, yeah. We actually open up with a lot of people already know this. We open with a body at the bottom of the stairs, and we don't know why the body is there or who it is. And then the story backtracks, and we learn what leads up to that. And it shows the interconnectedness of these three women and the trials and tribulations that they are going through individually and then collectively. And there's a couple of suspects of who it might be. And it's definitely not a thriller. I guess if it were even categorized as a thriller, it would be definitely like thriller light, because it doesn't follow that creepy feel that a thriller would. It's definitely more of a, like I said, a domestic drama as the story unfolds and we really get to take a peek behind closed doors.
What made you decide to go in this direction or kind of use this story for your latest novel?
I just started thinking about how people interact, and I was always so curious about things. I'm a big Dateline fan, and I always wondered, like, how could that happen next door, and the people didn't even have any idea? And so that idea has always intrigued me. Like, what would happen if you could peek in the window or be a fly on the wall of someone else's home and really see what's going on? Because sometimes the outward appearance is so far different than what is really going on, even within their own mind. So I think that's what really inspired me to write the book, was just really looking around me and listening to other people and trying to discover what motivated them.
Did you write this? What was the time frame for this? Were you writing this during our pandemic where everyone was shut in? Or what else was happening in your world when this novel was being created?
You know, this novel was created pre-pandemic. It was completely finished. I was done with edits and everything before the pandemic hit. So I kind of look back on it with such fondness, because I was free to write in coffee shops or sit with one of my writer friends, and we would, you know, clunk away at our laptops and look across at each other every time we got stuck and talk about plot points and things like that. And it definitely felt very like a very free time to write compared to now, because now I'm working on my next novel, and I have four kids who are schooling from home, and so it's a very different environment for me for my writing.
It's funny, as people who create things, you have something that we read and has our own impression of it, but you sometimes look at it and you remember the time when you're building this chapter, or maybe something else is going on, and you already have, in your sense, I remember where I was or how this was working. So there's a whole different way that you kind of view that novel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was speaking to someone yesterday about that very thing where he said that he had such a different take on some of the characters, and I found his view of them fascinating. I was really excited by his take on it.
Well, once you create something, it's up to the reader to kind of bring their own experiences to those characters, and even though you've probably fleshed them out and gave them a good storyline, there's still more things of those characters that the words maybe create for a whole new vision of what they are. This is A Lie Again. We're talking today with Stacy Wise, the author of this. What brought you into the writing world, doing this sort of thing, putting these together, talking with people at coffee shops, making stories up like that?
I was a casting director right out of college. I worked as a casting assistant first, and then I ended up working as a casting director. I worked on Party of Five and Married with Children and The X-Files, which was amazing. And I loved that career, but after a decade, I wanted a total change, and so I became a teacher. I got my master's in teaching, and I taught elementary school for a few years, and then we started our family, and it was when my youngest, who's now 11, was in preschool that I finally did what I had really always wanted to do but was afraid to do, and it was just sort of for myself. I wasn't writing a book that I thought would ever get published. And then I met these two other moms who were also writers, and they were a little bit further along in the process, and we banded together and we formed a writing group, a critique group, and we started taking it really, really seriously, and that's when I started investigating, how do I get an agent? How do I get my book good enough to actually present to an agent? And I was really, really fortunate that I ended up getting an agent who I adore, and she was able to sell my first book, and it just kind of took off from there. So it was, I mean, I make it sound so easy. It really wasn't. I mean, there were a lot of like late nights of writing and redoing and heartbreak as things went on. But the end game was that I ended up getting to do what I've wanted to do since I was a little kid.
Wow. That's fascinating. I also wonder how the publishing world has kind of changed, even in the time when you've been working on your books. There's a lot more interaction with the fans and all the different types of things. What I've discovered from before is sort of, people make trailers, like movie trailers for books now, this sort of way. There's a whole other way of appealing to people to get them to read your novels.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I have not made a book trailer, but I love them when I see them. I think it's so intriguing. It's like a little mini movie, which is super fun. And I do love that readers have such access to authors now through Instagram or Facebook. When I was growing up, I felt like the writers were, somewhere else in the world that I had zero access to unless I, put pen to paper and wrote a letter that I never knew if it would arrive. And now it's instantaneous. Someone can message me on Instagram, which happens a lot, and I can respond right away. And I love it. It's really, really cool.
Getting a feedback that you don't normally get as an author, because sometimes there's as you maybe talk to, not so much, but you sometimes think it's sort of a lonelier process because it's just you and your word processor or pen, paper, however it is that you're putting things together. And then once you kind of create these characters, it's you and the characters until it's time to release this out into the public. Book has only been out for quite a while, and I see it was Amazon First Reads pick for December. What does that mean to you, or what was that like?
That is such a great honor to be selected as an Amazon First Read book, because what it means is for the month that you're chosen, I was chosen for December, the book is available to Amazon Prime members for free as one of their Amazon Prime picks. So they will offer, I think it's 8 books that they can choose from, and if they want to get a second or third or fourth book from that group, it's only $1.99. So the end result is it's a great way for people to try out a new author without a huge investment on their part. And for me, it's great that I have people reading my book. Readers who might not otherwise have seen it.
Right. Sometimes they look for one thing, and it's sort of like, you like this one, maybe you'll also like this, or here's how it is. Do you still get a box of books, like, delivered to your front door when it's like, it's been published, here it is? Or is a lot of this stuff mostly electronic, and it has a different way of reaching people in a different format?
I did. I got a box of books delivered to my front door, and I got a box of the audio version. It was so exciting, you know, because I didn't know it was coming. And so I opened it, and it was the first time I had seen the official finished copy. And, you know, it's a really cool feeling to hold something in your hand that you made, you know, that started out just being an idea in your head. And then it was like you and the laptop for so long. And there were days where I wanted to, you know, take my laptop and throw it off the deck because I was like, I quit, I give up. And but it's that love of writing that kept me going. And then to see this, it was just really awesome.
Do you read their book? Do authors read their books? I know you know what I mean? You kind of read it, but same way maybe actors and people don't maybe see their movies or whatever. There's a process they're a part of. But the whole thing that the rest of us enjoy, do you ever get a chance to do that?
I have not read any of my books after they've been published. That's so interesting. And a lot of my author friends don't. And part of it is it's been part of your life for so long, because the publishing process does take a long time. For example, this book was finished for probably a year before it came out, before it was published, because on the back end, the publishers have to do so much. They have to create the cover and you know, bind it all together, and we go through so many rounds of editing, and then the copy editor sees it. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And so by the time that it is published and out in the world, I have been with it for so long that there's a part of me that's like, okay, I've already moved on and I'm doing something else. But I think it would be fun, like a year from now, to sit down and read it.
At some point when you sort of remove yourself from being that person who toiled over it, you can now enjoy it as a book. Of course, sometimes you think, you just flip, open it to a page and you're like, wait a minute, there's not a period there. There should have been something else.
Oh,
you know,
no.
You know, one of those type of things. I don't know if some people, depending how you look at it, you think, oh, on that page 62, there's this weird typo that people are going to worry about. But that's the editor, you know, that's the book people's problem at that particular point. You said you're working on another one like this. Is this how you continually do it, one after another? Or do you kind of have several in the pot or ideas? How does that usually work for your process?
I think I usually try to hone in on one idea. Like sometimes I'll have several ideas that are floating around in my mind, and I really try to focus on one, listen to which one is speaking to me the loudest. Because if I try to work on too many things at once, it's a little bit distracting. I really like to get involved in the story and have those characters like with me as I go through my day.
Do you remember?
They do. What's that?
I was going to say, do you remember when Lie Again, that book sort of came to you? In other words, what was the spark that really decided that would be the next one to go to?
I do remember having a conversation with someone. It was at a meeting, and someone got really, really bent out of shape in the meeting, and it was very, very unexpected. Her reaction was so much more heightened than anybody expected, and it left me feeling really weird and awful. And so I started thinking, like, what would make her react that way, whereas I wouldn't have reacted that way, and I think a lot of other people wouldn't have. But what was it about either that day? Like, what was she coming from? Was she coming from something bad that just had happened? Was she just a crappy person all around? And so I really started thinking about what motivates someone and what do people carry from their past that causes them to act a certain way presently? And I just found that idea really interesting. And I think that's sort of what sparked me asking a lot of questions. And that's why I wanted to create three female characters who all do things in a very, very different way. And they approach life in a very, very different way. But I wanted the reader to root for all of them. Even Sylvia, who people describe her as deliciously evil, there's some redeeming qualities that she has. And she definitely does some really bad things. But she does have a redeeming quality. So I think that was just the spark. It's just really looking at people and their motivation.
Right. Throw that together. They live together in the same apartment complex, and then you got a body at the bottom of the stairs, and you mix it all up and you take it from there.
That's right. That's right.
It's called Lie Again, the latest novel from Stacy Wise. Stacy, people want to get a hold of this book, find out more about you, follow your writing career. Where's a good place to do that?
My website is Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, Wise, W-I-S-E.com, StacyWise.com. And the book is available on Amazon.com. It's also at Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. If they don't have it in stock, they can certainly order it. So it's available everywhere.
Right. Is it a pink cover, or what would you consider that?
It is. It's a pink cover, which I adore. I was so surprised that they chose pink, and I was thrilled with it. So it's a pink cover, and there are three windows with an eye peeking out and red lips, and it's really cool.
Yep, and Lie in big letters. So if anyone's looking for a book about Lie, there it is. Lie Again is the name of the novel. Stacy Wise, our guest this morning. Stacy, thanks for sharing with us. I appreciate it. It's fascinating.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a wonderful year.
Thanks.